welcome to another episode of Piecing It Together, the podcast where we take a look at a new movie and try to figure out what movies inspired it. And today on the show, it is one of our monthly trailer roundup episodes featuring Jason Harris from Awesome Movie Year. So we will be looking at a bunch of movies and kind of just trying to guess what might have inspired it just based off the trailers. And then we'll see. Maybe we'll cover some of these movies on full episodes later on in the month or in the year. You never know. Well, hopefully we'll cover some of these. There's some good stuff coming this month, but we'll get into some of those here in a moment. Before we get to it, I do want to remind you, as always, to make sure you are subscribed to Piecing It Together wherever you listen to podcasts, wherever you're listening right now. Hit that follow or subscribe button and maybe drop us a little 5-star rating and review. I'd really appreciate it if you did that. You can follow us on social media at Piecing Pod and join our Facebook group, Popcorn and Puzzle Pieces, where we continue the conversation about all the movies we talk about here on the show. Now, before we get into this conversation, there is one more thing we got to do. Listener puzzle pieces. That's right. Every month on these trailer episodes, I always ask for puzzle pieces from the listeners, from the audience that are out there, to see if there's anything that we maybe might have missed while doing these episodes throughout the last month being December. And I got a bunch of pieces, mostly from our friend of the show, Joe Black, also some from Josie DeMarco. Jason Harris also wrote in, but his was actually something we mentioned on the show already. So, you know, whatever. But anyway, yeah, thank you to Joe and Josie. I will read through those now, starting with Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny. Joe Black said Thunderball, Bulletproof Monk, and Hudson Hawk. I feel like Hudson Hawk definitely like fits right in with that. And I've never seen Thunderball. And I probably saw Bulletproof Monk like way back in the day, but it's been forever. Silent Night, Joe Black said The Great Silence, which I'm assuming is a silent movie. I don't know. Rolling Thunder and Four Brothers. I loved Four Brothers when it came out. I wonder if it holds up. I know it doesn't really have good reviews, but I loved that movie back then. For the holdovers, Joe Black said, The Last Detail, Wonder Boys, which is one that was on my list, but I didn't end up mentioning, and Fast Times at Ridgemont High, which I think definitely fits in, and we mentioned a bunch of Linklater, and that kind of like, you know, rides the line there with that. And also Josie DeMarco mentioned The Day Trippers and also Wonder Boys. The Day Trippers is great, and yeah, like I said, Wonder Boys also one that I was considering for the episode. Killers of the Flower Moon, Josie DeMarco said Clear Cut, which I don't know that movie. I'm going to have to look that one up. Joe Black said Thunderheart, which I watched in anticipation of Killers of the Flower Moon and was great. I think I liked it more than Killers of the Flower Moon, actually. So that's a good one. Billy Jack, which Joe talks about all the time on the show. I've never seen any of those. Navajo Blues, which I assume goes along those same lines. And then Ernest Goes to Camp and Three Ninjas Knuckle Up, which I don't know about those. Maybe. I mean, certainly Leonardo DiCaprio's character is kind of a doofus. So, you know, maybe. And then last one for December is The Iron Claw, also from Joe Black here. We got Ready to Rumble and Beyond the Mat, which are two wrestling movies, of course. And then Husbands. So, again, thank you, Joe. Thank you, Josie. And hopefully we'll get lots more puzzle pieces from the listeners for next month's movies. It is a new year, so we just posted our top 10 episode, top 10 of 2023. I got a bunch more like top 10 stuff and like looking back at the year, but we have a whole lot of regular episodes on the way too. So again, make sure you're subscribed. Thank you for being out there and listening, and let's look forward to some new movies coming out in 2024. Happy New Year, Jason.
Thanks, Dave. Happy New Year to you as well. Noisemaker, woo, ball drop, blah, 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 kiss.
Wow, this is the first time I've gotten kissed on the podcast. This is great.
You have so many guests, and I'm on so often. We got to keep innovating here.
Yes,
so.
Yes, this is true.
The kiss cast.
True. Yeah, there you go. So it's a new month, lots of trailers to get into. Before we get to them, let's look back at our last month of trailers and see what we actually got.
So many. I watched so many. And there's so many good ones.
Absolutely stacked month. Stacked month.
It was amazing. I mean, I know we always save it for the end of the year, but they really just were like, every good movie this year we'll put out in December.
Yep, just load them in. Well, we started off last month's conversation with Poor Things, which I absolutely loved. It was everything I hoped it would be.
Give Emma Stone the Oscar right now. She's my pick for best actress. That's the bravest performance that I Remember recently, and the movie's great too. I think there's one part where it lags a little, but big fan of this movie.
Mark Ruffalo is so fucking funny in that movie. It's just insane.
But, I mean, it's stylistic. I mean, Willem Dafoe's great. It's stylistically just, I mean, Yorgos is, he's on fire right now.
He is, absolutely. Next up, one that I didn't get a chance to see. I think you did, though. The Boy and the Heron.
I did see The Boy and the Heron. We went and saw it on the big screen. I'll give you my daughter's review. It's the weirdest movie that she's ever seen.
Okay. So, is she a fan of his other films?
Or? Yeah, we watch a lot of Miyazaki movies and Studio Ghibli movies. But
so weird by those standards.
I mean, they're always weird, but here's a spoiler. You know, the heron has swallowed a man, and sometimes he's man, sometimes he's heron. Sometimes he's man heron, and it's very juxtaposing jolting, I would say.
It sounds weird. It sounds good, and I know a lot of people have talked about how great Robert Pattinson is as a voice actor, not just simply talking like himself, which everybody seems to do nowadays. So that makes me want to see it.
Was he the heron man?
Yeah, I believe so. The one with like the weird old voice, but Yeah, I want to see it for sure. Next up is Eileen, a movie I know we both loved, and I actually just recorded an episode on with your awesome movie, your co-host Josh Bell. Yeah, great movie. Kind of out of nowhere for me.
How did this thing get released in the theater? This is, sadly, this is like one of those, like in the 90s, you could have seen it in the theater, but now it's going to get lost until it hits streaming. So hopefully people will find it on streaming.
Yeah, I hope so too. Speaking of streaming, Leave the World Behind is up next, which it's gotten a lot of love it or hate it kind of reactions. I did not get a chance to see this one. Did you?
Yeah, I'm killing you this month, bro. Yeah. So I liked it. I liked it. You know, Sam Esmail is, he loves style, but I actually think his style kind of means things as opposed to when I saw Saltburn and I was like, why are we doing this?
Sure.
But it's pretty good, and if there's a better actor out there right now than Mahershala Ali, I dare you to tell me who it is.
Yeah, I still really want to see this one. I have a feeling I would land on the love side of things, but we'll see. Maybe I'll get to it soon.
I mean, there's also a lot of kudos going around for Julia Roberts for taking on a character who's very unlikable. But I mean, you know, so there's that. There's Ethan Hawke, just like, oh, give me anything. I'm in the zone right now. I'll just knock it out of the park. Yeah, just it's pretty good. And there's one great sequence that you would probably dig a lot.
Nice. Next up is Wonka, which I did see. I wasn't crazy about it. I feel like I might have liked it more in the theater, though. I did watch it on a screener and it kind of looked like shit. And I wish I had seen it in the theater. I think I'd have liked it more.
I saw it in the theater. Scarlett's review, it's her new favorite movie.
There you go.
Hugh Grant steals every scene he's in. The villains are good. Here's the thing. We don't need to make this movie anymore. Like, we're not going to top Gene Wilder. Let's move on. And also, how it goes from that character to what the Gene Wilder character became, is there's a real disconnect there. But it's fine.
Yeah. I really liked Keegan-Michael Key in it. I thought he was my favorite part of it.
But. I just saw him in Migration. I think he was one of the voices. He's doing good work. And he's doing some good work.
Right on. Next up is The Family Plan, of course, shot here in Las Vegas. I did not see it. I don't think. Did you see it?
No, but here's what's depressing. In one of the trailers we're coming up to, it's just another version of this. And why are we making this movie over and over again? We don't need this movie.
Yeah, it's super easy. I don't know. I guess some people like it. We'll see.
How many families or couples out there? I mean, everyone has secrets, but like how many are really like hidden assassins or, you know, former government operatives? Like, can we move on from this idea?
Who do you think would be the hidden assassin, me or Gina?
Gina.
Definitely. I agree.
Yeah. Unless you're this good to make me think that there's no way you could do it. And that's what you're really doing.
Chicken Run, Dawn of the Nugget. I've heard good things. I did not see it, though.
Yeah, it was just too stacked of a month. I mean, I like Artem. Everything they do is great. So I will get around to it.
Aquaman and the Lost City, one of my most anticipated movies of the year, because I do love the first Aquaman movie. absolutely a mess, but I had a lot of fun with it. It's more of the same, and so I was happy enough. But you could tell that this movie was just chopped to shit in the, like, 2 years it's been delayed. Obviously, it's also the end of the DCEU, which is a whole other story. We will get into it on an episode very soon that's already been recorded.
If a DC movie comes out and doesn't make a sound, does anyone really know it counts? It exists. So.
Very good. Very good. Next up, Anyone But You, which I did not get a chance to see. I do kind of want to. It's gotten mixed reviews. Like, some people really said it's just like a fun kind of throwback.
Oh, that's the Sydney Sweeney, Glenn
yes.
Powell one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, if it's a fun throwback, I mean, you know. This is the type of thing, like, you know, we miss No Hard Feelings in the theater. You go watch it on, it's on Netflix. So,
yeah,
but
yeah,
this, sure. But it also got crushed by a ton of people as well.
Absolutely. The Iron Claw crushed all of us. How about that for a segue, Jason? It's so good. And I know you loved it, too.
I really liked it. I will take issue with you on your episode where you guys. It's interesting because, you know, everyone really loves this movie. The main criticism seems to be the performance of the guy who played Ric Flair, and you guys shouted him out as doing a good job, but I feel like he really missed the style and profile and limousine riding, jet flying, kiss stealing, son of a gun, wheeling, dealing, baby, woo!
I agree. I think I got caught up in the excitement of just loving the movie and talking about it. And like, really, that guy did not do a great job as Ric Flair. I even joked on Twitter that like they really should have just young Luke Skywalker'd him and just CGI'd him. No one can play Ric Flair.
This is going to be now my what's on my mind the rest of the day, who I would cast as Ric Flair.
Yeah, you know, it's so. Impossible. No one could do it. Next up was The Color Purple, which I did not see. For the most part, everyone who sees it likes it, but I don't know that a lot of people are seeing it.
I didn't see it. It seems like it's pleasant enough, which is a weird thing to say because the original Color Purple is obviously very tough in some points. But people are like, yeah, that's fine. I don't see anyone loving it, though.
Did you see Obama put out his list of the 10 best movies of the year? And then like the next day he said, update, I just saw The Color Purple. And now that's on my list too. Obama's cheating on his top 10 list. It's not.
I mean, he totally cheated because his three favorites were the three that he produced.
Right.
So.
Totally.
What did he take off the list?
He didn't. That seems like a me move. I could see me doing that, not taking anything off, but adding an extra.
You know? Honestly, though, like it's a good list, and I'm glad we have a guy like Obama doing that. Can you imagine what Trump's top 10 would be?
I do not want to know.
Sound the freedom. Sound the freedom. Sound the freedom. That one about Hunter Biden with Gina Carano.
Oh, God.
Movies about me.
Of course. Absolutely.
Aquaman 2. Fast 10.
probably. The Boys in the Boat, the new George Clooney movie. Pretty trashed across the board. I did not see it. It looked really boring, honestly.
Yeah, I didn't see it either.
Yeah.
Clooney, man. I mean, what happened, dude? Good night and good luck. I really love that movie. And then I even thought Confessions of a Dangerous Mind was a good one, but it really seems like he hasn't hit on one since then as a director.
He just plays it too safe, I think, with all these projects that he chooses. But maybe one day, we'll see. Next up was Ferrari, The Return of Michael Mann, which I was a little lukewarm on. Did you see it?
Yeah, I feel the same way. The race sequence is amazing. But dude, there's some very bad miscasting here. I don't know what Shailene Woodley was doing, what accent she was, and we know she's a good actress, but and I honestly, you know, our awesome movie here co-host Josh Bell was like, hey, if these guys are all Italian but speaking in English, why are they even doing the accents? And you know, the accents were distracting. I don't think Adam Driver's accent was that great, even though he's a great actor. Penelope Cruz, give her an Oscar nomination.
And, she's the best part of the movie.
Yeah. Is it Eric Messerschmidt who DP'd it? Watch it for the race sequence alone, I'd say. It's good. It's just not top Michael Mann.
Sure. Absolutely. Last one from last month was Zack Snyder's Rebel Moon Part 1, A Child of Fire, which even though I I try to root for Zack Snyder. I did not watch it because I got really annoyed at this whole there's already a director's cut on the way bullshit. And it's just so obvious, like, to get people to watch it, not like it that much because they know something else is on the way, and then watch it again and boost the numbers. It just seems so, like, such bullshit after the Justice League thing.
Yeah, you know how I feel about this. And the preview just looked terrible. So
it did.
You know, we know the Snyder boys are out there, you know, mm-hmm. rah-rahing it. So good for you guys. I'm glad you have something.
There you go. Let's get to our January movies, starting with Society of the Snow on Netflix, January 4th. This is J.A. Bayona's new film about a plane crash in the Andes Mountains and the survivors struggling to survive. I know this one played festivals and stuff like this year, 2023, and the reviews have been really good, so I'm interested in it.
Spain's entry into the Best International Feature,
right.
For the Academy Awards. Yeah, I mean, it looks good. I mean, and you know, I was just complaining about why do we have to keep making certain movies? Like, this movie's been made before, you know, right. Alive, right? Mm-hmm. It's pretty much this movie, but this looks good. My pieces, of course, were Alive, and then the great Mads Mikkelsen movie, Arctic, where he's just trapped alone in the Arctic. But I feel like, you know, there's a lot of other ones here, like Yellow Jackets and Lost. There was a great limited series that I don't know if anyone saw it from Spain called The Head, about a murder that takes place in Antarctica. And they're all trapped there. So I think that and Werner Herzog's Endeavors at the End of the World also. Mm. So a lot of them, Jade.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And yeah, of course, Alive is, I believe it is the exact same story, isn't it?
I think maybe it is. I don't know.
But, yeah, I think so. But yeah, I had that. And then I also put in J.A. Bayona's own film, The Impossible, a different kind of disaster survival story. But you know, after a detour into the whole Jurassic Park franchise, you know, it's good to see him back into something that we know he can do really well. And it'll be interesting to see. I want to watch this one. Next up is Night Swim, which is produced by James Wan. It'll be in theaters January 5th. And it's a very ridiculous looking horror movie about, I guess, a haunted pool. They don't really let on too much about what exactly is going on in this trailer, but ridiculous and horror and James Wan, I'm in.
This is Blumhouse, right?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, so this is their sweet spot. January releases of movies that are like familiar but different enough, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, it looks like there's like a demon living in the pool drain or whatnot. So
I can't wait.
It just looks ridiculous. The Ring, obviously, for, you know, a haunted element of a place where you wouldn't normally find it, a haunted element. And I think the demon might be a dead girl anyway. And then it wasn't a great movie, and we never talk about it, but I was thinking of, like, where is something water related, like the element of the horror? And I thought of the Jennifer Connelly movie Dark Water, where, like, yeah, their apartment building just kept, like, getting flooded, and the water was the bad guy.
So. Yeah. The water is the bad guy. That definitely fits really well here. I like that. I also threw in John Carpenter's The Fog, because this kind of feels like a, you know, like a spooky ghost story kind of thing that you would tell. And I also put in Color Out of Space, that Nicolas Cage movie, because it seems like everybody's going crazy and it's like unexplainable why. So some kind of cosmic horror kind of thing going on possibly. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see how they pull this one off and if it's as crazy as it looks. But next up is Good Grief, which will be on Netflix January 5th and is the directorial debut of Dan Levy. Stars him and Luke Evans and Ruth Negga, about a guy whose husband dies and he takes his friends with him on a trip while grieving. Takes them on a trip to Paris. It looks pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, Dan Levy's great, so yeah. We got to see what he's going to do as a filmmaker here, right? But absolutely. You left out a key element that they mention in the trailer, which is that they find out that the dead husband was cheating on him, right?
Right, sure. Yeah,
you're so, right. Yeah, so I thought of, I mean, when you think of movies about people getting together to grieve, you think of The Big Chill, like Friends, right? Because it seems like a Friends trip here, sure, to do that. And then, Yeah. So, and then I put a very one from last year that I think you might not have seen was 1001, which is a good movie. I didn't love it, but a lot of people do. It was on Obama's list, I think.
It was. Yeah.
But so there's a sequence in there where a husband dies and his wife has to like invite over the mother of his other child, right? And it's like, oh, he had a separate life that we didn't know about. So I was thinking like, oh, okay, where do we find that out? And that was kind of my pick for that.
Yeah, I did not see that one yet, but I've heard nothing but good things about it. But yeah, good pieces there. I'll throw in The Descendants. I was thinking about someone dealing with the death of a spouse and who maybe wasn't so great. And also Garden State, as far as like somebody like kind of dealing with grieving and with their own, you know, issues of mental health and dealing with like going along with friends as part of their journey. So, yeah, I'm rooting for Dan Levy. He's good.
Yeah, I have too. I mean, you know, another, I had those as well. I mean, well, I didn't have Garden State, but I had The Descendants, but I was thinking of that Linkletter movie, Last Flag Flying, where they go on the trip to bury the son. Because of the idea of like, we're going on a trip to get closure on something.
That's a good movie. I love Last Flag Flying.
Really, well, you should see The Last Detail. You know, it's a new sequel to that.
I should see The Last Detail.
Yeah.
Next up is Mean Girls in theaters January 12th, which is a movie musical adaptation of the Broadway musical adaptation of the movie Mean Girls from Tina Fey. It stars Renee Rapp, who is in the musical version. Strangely, and like a lot of the movies at the end of 2023 that are musicals, they're like barely mentioning that this is a musical in any of the advertisements.
I think there's a lot of excitement from the kids on this one, Dave. The
hopefully.
Gen Z, kids are excited for this. They're going to watch it on their TikToks, Dave.
Probably.
You know? Yeah. So, and then they'll have a group chat about it. So,
I didn't know they do that.
Yeah. So the one thing I like about Tina Fey is that she puts John Hamm in every movie or project that she's in, or that she's involved with. And I like Tina Fey anyway, but you know, so, I mean, I thought of Matilda because we're doing a musical based on a musical based on a movie based on what that was even based on a book before that, you know? So, and then, you know, the idea of kind of growing up and where you fit and sexuality, even Bottoms from last year, I think fits into that. And Clueless was another one kind of representing where you are in the high school hierarchy.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. As far as last year is concerned, I also threw Theater Camp on my list. You know, it's very gay, very campy, you know, and surrounded musicals. I also threw Tick, Tick, Boom for the meta-ness of a musical adaptation with Jonathan Larson actually writing his musicals in the movie. So, yeah, I don't know. I love Tina Fey. It was so great a couple of weeks ago back on Twitter where everyone was just randomly posting 30 Rock clips. It was a really fun week. But yeah, I hope this is good. I hope it's it stands on its own.
You're really still on the Twitter.
It's, you know, it's a cesspool, but it's the social media site that I get the most out of. So what are we gonna do? Yeah. The Book of Clarence is up next, which is a biblical comedy directed by James Samuel, who did The Harder They Fall a couple years ago. It'll be out in theaters January 12th and stars Lakeith Stanfield as a guy who sees all the success that Jesus is having and decides to also become a Messiah and make some money. And it looks pretty funny. It looks very strange.
Yeah, I didn't really connect with it that way. I didn't think it looked that funny. I kind of want to see Lakeith Stanfield do other things besides this. But, you know, maybe I'm wrong. But I didn't love the last movie, The Harder They Fall. I thought, like,
I like there that.
I thought it was all right. But again, it was a lot of style for the sake of style. So, you know, I don't know. This one, it just felt like a little disjointed as a trailer to me. But, you know, when you think of biblical comedies, you go to The Life of Brian, right?
Sure.
So we covered The Robe on our 1953 season of, Awesome Movie Year. Who is a God? Who is God? And why? Why should we believe this person's a Messiah? And then, Dave, there was this, I might have recommended it even, but I feel like you and Gina should watch it. Have you seen Love Has Won, The Cult of Mother God on Max?
I saw it advertised on there, but I haven't watched it, no.
Yeah, it's like three episodes about this woman who like was a manager at McDonald's and had like multiple kids from multiple fathers. And then all of a sudden she's like, oh, I'm God. And then she starts a cult and everyone's like, oh, she's God. And like, it's crazy because, I mean, it's just nuts. You should watch it. But they're like, well, God communicates with, you know, whatever they call them, the spirits. And it's like, who's on the spirit board? It's like all these dead celebrities like Robin Williams and all this. And then, of course, these hippies who are living out in the Colorado, you know, and doing it. Who else is on their spirit board? Trump. Trump is one of their guides.
Of course. Of course. So, why wouldn't he be?
That's yeah. Good stuff.
Yeah, I also had Life of Brian on mine. I also had Leap of Faith, Steve Martin, you know, as far as evangelicals using religion to make money. And then Honk for Jesus, Save Your Soul from last year, which was obviously inspired by Leap of Faith itself. So,
hey, how about Sterling K. Brown in American Fiction? Huh?
He is so goddamn good in that movie.
Everyone in that movie just brings it.
So. Absolutely. Next up is Role Play on Prime, January 12th. Another movie with David Oyelowo. Him and Kaylee Cuoco star in a kind of spy action rom-com, like you said, about a guy who finds out this time his wife is the secret agent. Like you said, we keep doing these.
Yeah, so, I mean, you mentioned The Family Plan. We're all trying to do True Lies. I mean, I think they're remaking Mr. and Mrs. Smith this year, right? So it's like, that's coming out. And then, this looks terrible. Like the last one of these that was Ghosted, the one with Chris Evans and Anna, Gal Gadot. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All really, really bad stuff.
This is dumb. Can we stop this? Like, we went through up front, we had like three or four movies where I'm like, oh, this could be good. This could be good. And now I'm just getting angry at this.
Yeah, I'm with you. It looks really, really bad. And it's on Prime. I'm sure nobody will watch it, most likely. But anyway, let's move on then, because I have basically the exact same stuff as you do. So let's move on to Self-Reliance, which looks a little better. January 12th, Hulu. It's Jake Johnson's directorial debut and produced by The Lonely Island. Stars Jake Johnson and Andy Samberg and a bunch of other people, funny people.
Anna Kendrick, who, always brings it.
Absolutely. Really a whole lot of people in this. A weird high concept action comedy where a guy is offered $1 million to allow people to hunt and kill him. I think it looks hilarious. I can't wait.
I mean, I feel like it's derivative of things we've seen before. He's on a reality show and, you know, oh, they're going to kill me and rich people are hunting me, right? Like, we just saw this movie. This was The Hunt a few years ago, the Damon Lindelof, right? Scripted one. But also, like, I like Jake Johnson. I want this to be good. I just like was like, I don't know, why are we doing this one? There was that movie Series 7, The Contenders, about a reality show where they basically kill each other. And then I thought Samberg playing himself, kind of had that NPH, Harold and Kumar vibe to it. But White Castle. So there's all these things. Date Night, where you know, because the deal is like, oh, as long as you're not alone. Like, what is this? As long as you're not alone, they can't kill you. So, like, why wouldn't you just be like, hey, dude, how about this? You stick with me for the next 30 days and I'll give you $100,000, right? Mm-hmm. You just can't, like, there's no movie. That's what I'm saying. So it's maybe just frustrating.
I have a feeling this was born out of the pandemic where we were always alone for long stretches of time. And so maybe it's a little too late that this joke, like, doesn't quite work as well anymore now that we're all just sick, but out in the world together. So, anyway, I agree with all your pieces, all good ones. The Running Man, throw that in there as well. John Wick Chapter 3, where the hit is open, where anybody can get him, throw that in there as well. Yeah, I'm rooting for this. I hope it's good. We'll see. Next up is Lift on Netflix, January 12th. This is directed by F. Gary Gray and stars Kevin Hart as a thief who's hired to steal gold off an airplane, I think. I don't know. It looks like, you know, a lot of these kinds of movies, basically. If you're talking about Self-Reliance looking like things we've seen a million times, same kind of deal here.
I agree. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. Like, I didn't know what this was. I put on the preview, and, like, the first thing you see is Kevin Hart, and I'm like, oh, man. And, like, that does not speak to Kevin Hart's talent. because he's a very talented actor.
Sure.
But he just does all these shitty, like, right down the middle, like, you know, I'm desperate to be a movie star movies, right?
Yeah. Doesn't this look like one of those fake movies that, like, an actor in a movie made? Like you could picture, a character in Tropic Thunder. This is, like, their movie that they're famous for, you know?
Yeah. So this looks terrible. I mean, there's 100 pieces you can go with. Tough Things to Rob, Money Train, Logan Lucky, right? Mm-hmm. You can do the idea of, the thing is, like, he's a criminal and the government's like, well, we'll let you not go to jail if you go rob these $5 million in an airplane. And, you know, like, what is that? That's not a thing. So... But I thought of the unbearable weight of massive talent because of the government angle in there. And, you know, there's this group, Now You See Me, Ocean's 11, Passenger 57. Just leave me alone with this movie.
I had Ocean's 11 as well. I also, of course, had Fast and Furious because that is exactly what they do. The government comes to these guys, help us steal, and we'll, you know, get rid of your record or whatever it is. And
we have to stop with this. Again, this is the theme. Like, and I knew this was going to happen because... you know, we're recording this right before we record our top 10 of the of 2023. And I felt for like most of 2023 when we did the previews, I was like, really, like, oh, this looks so stupid. This is crap. Yeah, I saw this was crap. And then the end of the year was so strong. We had so many amazing movies. And now this episode is just depressing me.
Yeah. I mean, this is where it's January. You know, it's where these movies belong. So. Next up is Which Brings Me to You, which will be in theaters January 19th. Seems like a couple who just met recounting stories of all their previous partners. I don't know. Kind of looks cute. Lucy Hale and Nat Wolff star. I feel like I'm too old for this movie. It just seems like it's like a very Gen Z kind of thing.
That's another derivative piece, right? Like, so she wants to have sex with this guy and he's like, what if we don't? Mm. Ooh, what a crazy idea. What if we get to know each other? Whoa, wow. How edgy, you know? And it's like, you know, but in the preview, they're talking about, like, very explicit sex stories, which reminded me of the diner scene in Chasing Amy. And then it's like, are they, you know, clearly they're going to get together, but are they trying to help each other find other partners, which kind of reminded me of I Want You Back. And then there is a whole, here's a movie that I bet you haven't seen. Brittany Snow's directorial debut, Parachute, which was pretty good, about a couple where either one or both is toxic and mental illness and insecurities get in the way. And instead of, like, being able to lift each other up, it just destroys them. I felt like it had elements of that, too.
Okay. I haven't even heard of that. I didn't know that she directed anything. So that's pretty cool. Maybe I'll check that one out. I also threw in 10 Things I Hate About You as far as anti-romance, romantic comedies, you know, that I Want You Back goes right to that as well. I also threw Family Guy on here because there's all these flashbacks. This is like that one time when that one thing happens.
A very special episode of Which Brings Me to You.
Yeah, there you go. Next up is ISS, which will be in theaters January 19th. Americans and Russians are both on an international space station, and it seems like war has broken out back on Earth, and they've both been given a signal to take over the space station. I think that's what's happening here.
Yeah. Hey, yeah? At least this is a cool, like, contained space thriller or something, right? Like, this looks pretty decent, I'd say. So, hooray.
We might have one. That would be exciting if we do. And Chris Messina, he's great. He was, like, the best part of Air earlier this year, so I'm down for him. Ariana DeBose,
people
like him.
I'm going to disagree with you. Matt Damon was the best part of Air. He was very good, but Matt Damon stole Air. Come on.
Okay.
And Chris Tucker was great, too, but they were all good. So, yeah.
They were all good, absolutely.
Yeah, no, this looks good, Ariana DeBose and everything. So, I mean, I think I know what you're going to pick, so I'm going to go with a different space kind of disaster movie. You remember Mission to Mars, the one with Tim Robbins and all them? So,
very bad.
Yeah, well, I had to do something else. And then I picked Children of Men because it's like, where do we fit in this war-torn society? Where are we supposed to be now, you know? Mm-hmm. And of course, if the Russians are the bad guys, you got to go to Rescue Dawn.
There you go. You got to. Absolutely got to. Those are great pieces for a movie that hopefully will be good, because my pieces, I think, are mostly great movies, too. Gravity, of course, is probably the one you were thinking I was going to say, but that is something I'm going to say. I also throw 10 Cloverfield Lane in there because of, you know, not knowing for sure what the truth is about what's going on outside of this closed place that they can't get out of. And then the other one, I guess this would be my Mission to Mars piece, would be Life, that movie with Jake Gyllenhaal, which was kind of a alien, you know, stuck on a spaceship kind of thing, where something's breaking out. Not exactly the best movie, but interesting premise. And so, yeah, we'll see. Hopefully this will be like a sci-fi with something interesting that happens to these people, where it's not just what the trailer looks like spread out to 90 minutes, you know?
Well, I mean, even the, Leave the World Behind that we just spoke about, like, where it's like, hey, the apocalypse is happening, but we don't really see or know what's exactly happening, but we're seeing how these people deal with it. I thought that's an interesting, maybe this is kind of like that. Also, I misspoke, not Rescue Dawn, Red Dawn.
Red Dawn. Yeah. That makes sense. Yeah. All right. We got one more. It's Miller's Girl. It'll be in theaters January 26th. This is Jenna Ortega and Martin Freeman as a teacher and student who are having a some kind of a relationship between them. And it looks like it's going to be an interesting one of these kinds of movies that we used to get all the time. And we really haven't gotten many recently, I feel like.
I guess you could say May-December had some elements of that, right?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Although I think it's kind of twisting that kind of a movie in a way. But yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So, first of all, Martin Freeman and Jenna Ortega. So let's go, right?
Like, sure.
They're great actors and it's going to be fun. I mean, I think we all think of Lolita, stuff mm-hmm. like that. I mentioned The Hunt, where they hunt people, but what about The Hunt that we covered on Awesome Movie, or the Mads Mikkelsen movie, where,
sure.
you know, he's accused by a kid of inappropriate behavior and then they have to deal with that. And then I put down a 25th Hour, the great Spike Lee movie, because there was that element of the teacher having the forbidden romance, with his student.
Yeah, no, absolutely. We could throw that one in there as well. All good pieces there. I also threw in The Crush, the 90s movie with Alicia Silverstone, with a similar kind of plot points. Also a movie we just watched over Christmas break randomly, Notes on a Scandal with Kate Blanchett and Judi Dench. Also another movie that deals with a teacher having a fling with a student and all the fallout of that. So this will be an interesting one. I mean, obviously, you know, in the world of movie discourse, people don't know what to do with these kinds of stories anymore. So it'll be interesting to see, especially with how big Jenna Ortega is right now, how her fans take to this kind of a story.
Well, I mean, I just think she's a very good actor. So yeah. I don't really, define her by one part or the next. So I'm just, and I know Martin Freeman's a great actor too. So yeah. Let's see where it goes.
Absolutely. So I've saved this one for last because we will be doing a live show on it, but The Beekeeper, the new David Ayer film, I can't wait, starring Jason Statham as a guy who single-handedly takes down a phishing scam organization. I am so excited for this. I'll be posting news about the live show in the next couple of days at the time this goes up, but yeah, January 11th is when it'll be at Art House here in Las Vegas. More details to come, but I cannot wait for this one. Are you psyched for David Ayer and Jason Statham's teaming up?
I mean, dude, if you and I were dating, these are the movies we would be dating because of, right?
So, absolutely.
It feels like we're dating sometimes, doesn't it?
It kind of does.
We do so many projects together at this point. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, look, again, we've seen movies like this, but who cares? Like, this is going to be awesome. You know, The Master Gardener, right? Where it's like, I'm a gardener with a past. The Foreigner, do you remember that one with Jackie Chan? And, sure. Right. And Pierce Brosnan. And I picked that in Bourne Identity because of the government elements and like one person having to take down an entire, death squad of government operatives.
All great stuff. All great stuff.
But this is what I want from Jason Statham. This is what I want, So,
yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I'm hoping this has the right level of self-awareness, which it, based on the trailer, it seems like it does. But we will see. I can't wait. But that does it for our January trailers. Jason, is there a movie you watched recently you want to recommend to our listeners?
Yeah, I've been catching up on stuff from 2023. And I've watched some good foreign films. There's a movie, A Fire. It's I think a lot of people are maybe finding it because it's on Criterion and it's making a lot of year-end lists. And it's a really good movie about these people who just kind of go to the countryside in Germany and have to deal with whatever interpersonal issues they're dealing with while the wildfires in the wilderness are getting closer and closer to their, you know, getaway cabin or, you know, house. So it's good. I would recommend that.
Right on. Yeah, I know I've seen a lot of people talk about it and it sounds really great. Jason, what's going on with Awesome Movie Year?
Awesome Movie Year, Dave. We're in what many refer to as the original Awesome Movie Year, 1939. Almost all heavy hitters and legendary films. So we're doing that right now.
Awesome. Where can people find it?
Where can people find Awesome Movie Year? If you don't know now, I just guess you're not listening, but that's okay. AwesomeMovieYear.com, Awesome Movie Year on Facebook and Instagram, Awesome Movie Pod on Dave Twitter.
There you go. It works. That works for me. Jason, thanks as always for being here, and we'll get you back again soon.
All right.
I'm Josh Bell.
And I'm Jason Harrison. We co-host a podcast called Awesome Movie Year.
Each season, we take a look back at an awesome year for movies, which is every year.
We deep dive into these specific years and we pick out why they were such great years for films. We go over the biggest hits, the biggest flops, the best picture, some personal picks, some cult classics.
Years we've covered in past seasons include 1994, 2003, 1977, and 1984, and we've got all of film history to look forward to. So check us out at awesomemovieyear.com or wherever you listen to podcasts. All right, so I hope you enjoyed that conversation about some of the movies coming out in January of 2024. Thank you to Jason for joining me, and thank you to all of you for listening. If you're enjoying Piecing It Together, of course, make sure you're subscribed. That way you'll find out when we cover some of these movies. You can subscribe wherever you're listening right now, and we're on all the major podcast apps. While you're at it, maybe drop us a little 5-star rating and review. It helps make sure more people check out the show. And at the time of this recording, I just found out that we just hit 100,000 downloads, which is so freaking awesome. I am just so happy that you're all out there listening. I want to just keep doing more exciting and fun stuff with this show, more live shows, get more special episodes going, these lists, these interviews, all kinds of things. So keep on listening, keep on subscribing, and thank you so much for being out there. Also, keep sending in your puzzle pieces. I love when people send in their puzzle pieces. Then I get to read them here on the show and, you know, get a little interactive thing going on. So I really do appreciate that. So thank you again for being out there. So with that said, that does it for this episode. It being January, it's also, aside from the podcast, it's time for my new thing that I'm doing with my music. It's called 24 for 2024. I will have some special bonus episodes of the podcast about it coming up in the coming months, but basically what I'm doing is on the first and third Friday of every month of this year, I'm releasing a new single, 24 singles in 2024. It's a ridiculous, ambitious thing that I'm doing. It's kind of ridiculous and kind of insane, but a lot of great music on the way. And so the first one comes out this Friday that this is going up. But then there will be another one and another one, 24 songs throughout the year. I'm going to close out with one of those songs. And let's see, what should I play? I am going to play one called Back Into the Void. So this is one of the 24 songs that will be out in 2024. Hope you enjoy it. We'll be back with more Piecing It Together real soon.
an All Points West production, produced by David Rosen in Las Vegas.